We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Today on Conquering Heroes, I'll be joined by the Michigan water polo coach, Dr. Marcello Leonardi. They are the champions of the Collegiate Water Polo Association, and they will be traveling out in just a little while to take on Arizona State in the NCAA tournament that is going to happen out in Los Angeles on the campus of UCLA. We'll talk to him next on Conquering Heroes.
Welcome to your one-stop podcast for all things Michigan athletics. Updates on every team on campus and interviews with players and coaches are all on the way. This is Conquering Heroes. Here's your host, John Jansen.
Today on Conquering Heroes, I'm joined by another champion and looking for a possible national championship, and that's Dr. Marcello Leonardi, the head coach of Michigan Water Polo. Thanks for joining us, and I know that you've got some big news. We all learned it last night, but the NCAA tournament's right around the corner, and you guys found out who you're playing last night.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. Super excited. The team gets an opportunity to play against Arizona State in the quarterfinal match on Friday, May 14th at NCAA's.
And you, this is going to be actually the third time you've seen them this season. You've split the regular season matchups with a 12-10 win in February. And then I guess it would be just a couple days later. Maybe that's March 1st. I can't remember what day it would have been with leap year. But a 7-4 loss. What do you know about this Arizona State team, and what are you looking for in that that quarterfinal matchup?
Well, we had the opportunity to play them in Tempe, Arizona. And, you know, we were able to play them when they were seeded. I think they were ranked number 4 in the country. They're very talented, filled with seasoned international players from across several different countries, but very physical, very well coached, a different style of play that kind of slows the tempo down a bit. But, you know, we sped the game up a little bit in the first game, which allowed us to really kind of pull ahead 12-10. But on the following day, they made their adjustments. They slowed the game down a bit and held us kind of in check defensively, hence the 7-4 score. But, you know, we feel very, very comfortable with that matchup. I think that both teams should be excited because we've been able to play, fortunately. I mean, you know, as a result of the pandemic, it was very hard to find matches, especially against high-quality competition. But, you know, we're hoping to take the third match.
And so you mentioned it's been hard to find. You've been able to find 25 matchups because you're 21-4 on the regular season, and that culminated in a championship, and that is the Collegiate Water Polo Association. So for those that are listening, explain to us who's in your league, your association, because it's different, a little bit different than it is, you know, Big 10, Pac-10, Big 12 than we see in some other sports.
Yeah, so our conference is primarily made up of Ivy League schools, Harvard, Brown, and Princeton. We also have Bucknell University, who's in the, or part of the Patriot League, George Washington, St. Francis from Pennsylvania, and we newly joined Mount St. Mary's, and then obviously the Michigan Wolverines. But it's kind of a collection of water polo from the Midwest and East, because the Big Ten doesn't actually sponsor a varsity conference, even though Indiana and Michigan were originally part of this CWPA conference. So,
when you look at the competition that you had in that conference, and I mentioned, you know, you obviously played outside the conference when you had the ability to, but you're 21-4, you're conference champions or association champions. What are some of the peaks and valleys that you guys and your team face this year?
Well, with like every team at Michigan, first of all, our administration put us in a position to be able to play. And I think that's huge, because it's almost like last team standing, right? Mm-hmm. Where most programs are shaving their schedule, reducing budgets, really limiting travel. Our administration put us in a position to be able to travel out west, where primarily the competition is very high. And we were able to create a jigsaw schedule, especially during this pandemic. So testing was at an all-time high, protocol respected to the T and the letter. And, you know, when we were able to travel and perform, we tried to squeeze in 4 to 5 games each weekend to be able to maximize not only the trip, but the level of competition. You know, when we had to postpone, cancel, or alter, you know, we did that as well. But, you know, I feel like we've created such a great inner circle, inner bubble, not only here at the university, but within our athletic department, as well as our team. You know, one of the main reasons is the selfless sacrifice that these student athletes have made. And I mean, you look at our coaching staff, you look at all the resources and the people that put their fingerprint on this program. It's taken a village and a community to really get to this point.
And you mentioned the self-sacrifice of the student athletes. Just to have the opportunity to play, you know, your sport at Michigan takes a number of self-sacrificing decisions, whether it's in high school, even earlier sometimes. But this year was unique. You mentioned the, you know, basically creating your own bubble. Have you ever been surprised? And I ask this question because you realize as well as anybody the sacrifice that these athletes make just to, on a normal basis, to get where they are. Have you ever been surprised by some of your athletes, especially over the last year, of what they were willing to do just to have the opportunity to compete?
Yeah, absolutely. You look at it and the word grateful comes out a lot, mm-hmm. You know, blessings come out a lot. And I mean, you think about it, it's difficult for us as an adult, right, where we go back home and have families. But being an 18-year-old to a 22-year-old student athlete in a college environment, you've got to make some serious sacrifices. And it absolutely amazes me. You know, now it's almost part of our routine. But we go back and we think about the sacrifices that they've made. And I'm not just talking about in the last month when it's easy to get up for a championship. It's the fall. It's the days you don't want to be here. It's the days that are really, really tough. And, you know, the rest of the community, even though they're in the pandemic, but you see them kind of enjoying certain aspects of being a student at Michigan. And we have that daily reminder of why we do this. You know, what's our purpose? But I go back, I think it's a blessing, and we've got to be grateful on a daily basis. And by creating that bubble, that inner circle, we're our accountability. We're our checks and balances. And so we hold each other accountable, but we also support each other emotionally, mentally, when things really get tough. And the time right now, you know, like I said, it's easy to get up for a championship. But when we're sitting together and we get a chance to see that NCAA selection show, you know, and you know, we're seated fifth in the tournament, we have a chance to really push for a Final Four, if not a championship. Those are just the fruits of our labor, the reminders of all the sacrifice that went from not even at the beginning of the school year. You got to go back to March 20th, mm-hmm. right? March 12th of last year when the pandemic hit and sports stopped. And so it amazes me. And it continues to amaze me because, as you know, our Michigan student athletes are the best of the best, right? And we're still asking them to do more, to be better. And this is that next chapter. And all these experiences that they're getting, the sacrifices that they've made are going to help them when they become, future citizens of our community and help change the world.
What was the moment like last night? Because I know there's still work to do. You still have to play in the NCAA tournament, but you were CWPA champs. You've got the player of the year. You had four athletes on the first team for the CWPA. But all of those sacrifices, and you mentioned going all the way back to early March of 2020, and asking these athletes to continue to make more sacrifices and ones that they were willing to make. What was the moment like last night when you got the announcement that the seeding, you were going to get the first round bye, you're going to play against Arizona State? It had to be a special moment for you and your athletes.
It was. It absolutely was. Once again, it's that culmination of, in all honesty, we got chills. The energy, the cheers, the excitement. I mean, there's few times in our lives we get super excited, right? And we don't take those for granted, but I thought last night was one of them. I caught myself filming the reaction, and it was amazing because I actually timed it well, hoping that we were going to be the fifth seed. And when they announced our name, it was like the first time back in 2016 when we went to NCAAs here, when I first arrived, right? It's that same excitement. And I think that it just reminds us once again that we can't take anything for granted. The things that are presented to us, there's a reason why, and we've got to be grateful. But once in a while, there's got to be something concrete that these student athletes can look at and feel and see to validate, right? We talk about that intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. There's got to be a carrot out there. And they got that big carrot last night, the opportunity to not only represent Michigan, our conference and our fans, et cetera, but like be able to go to NCAAs to push for a championship.
Yeah, and you mentioned all of those intrinsic things and the carrot, some people will call it the payoff, whatever you want to, however you want to describe it, to have the opportunity or earn the right to go on and play for a national championship. Now, this is your seventh season. You're the third coach in program history. And, there's a lot of accolades, but this will be the fifth straight NCAA tournament appearance. What does it mean for you and the program that you continue to build and nurture to have a string of five straight NCAA appearances?
Well, it kind of tells me that our culture is moving in the right direction. Whether you look at with or without the pandemic, it's all about culture. Our program, we have talented water polo players. We have great student athletes. But that's found in a lot of different places. It's the right pieces of the puzzle that have come together over a long stretch to be successful. We always look at winning one, then two, then three. But every year, you start again, and you carry over returners from the other team. And so I feel like the group has bought in, to our philosophy, to our pillars of success. And not only have we done that, but we've been able to bridge the traditions and norms that Michigan also values within our water polo culture. And now it's kind of starting to, I don't want to say snowball, because the pandemic put a huge dent into all of that. That was a variable that, we couldn't control, but we were still able to focus on being successful. Now, we're fortunate enough to be champions, But remember, it wasn't about winning March 12th. It wasn't about winning in September. It wasn't even about winning in January. It was staying together, being healthy, getting the chance to go to school, and being able to practice, just practice water polo. So everything that we're doing now, you know, the trophies, the accolades, all that stuff, that's all icing. That's all a blessing. That's going to come with being successful, but the day in and the day out, the ability to overcome these obstacles, the pandemic, all these variables that didn't exist before, it just made us more resilient. And so super proud of this group. I'm super, super proud. And then you look across the department and you start hearing similar stories because we're all going through this. And it's awesome. It's awesome to see kids succeed in spite of certain variables that we can't control.
You had four players make first team CWPA. Heidi Rittner is your goalie, Sophie Pontra and Aaron Newstrom. But then you also had the CWPA Player of the Year in Maddie O'Reilly. Tell us a little bit about those players, those athletes, as well as you know, some of the other individuals on your team that have stepped up and those that need to step up to win a national championship.
Well, I'll tell you, all four of those players are the heart and soul of what this program represents. Yes, they're talented water polo players. They're even exceptional student athletes. You know, you take a look at their majors and GPAs, but they're all believers in what we do here. There's a reason why they came to Michigan, and they're producing at the highest level. Now, you take a look at Heidi, who is graduating with two degrees, her bachelor's and her master's, right? She's been here 5 years. Sophie Pontre is graduating this year and coming back for grad school next year. Maddie O'Reilly, our MVP of our conference, is graduating this year in sports management, coming back next year for her master's. And Aaron Newstrom is a rising junior who is carrying the load on the offensive end. And so all four of them are critical in the success if we want to move forward. But there's so many other student athletes, other players on our team that contribute and put them in a position to be successful. And if you take a look at all four of those athletes, they're all selfless. You know, yeah, there's stat busters here and there, but they all fill their role at the highest level. And, you know, ironically, all four of them are leaders of our team.
And it's funny that you talk about these athletes because I think water polo is, it's a very unique athlete to play water polo because it's endurance, it's physical, there's tough. I mean, there's so many different attributes in water polo. And I remember talking to Jim Abbott, who was, you know him very well. And he was on the podcast about a year ago, and I asked him if he would get into the pool with his daughter, and he said, hell no, because it is a violent sport as well. When you recruit athletes, it's got to be unique in the endurance, the physicality of it, but also underneath the water, it's a violent sport.
Yeah, it is. It's that iceberg effect. 10% above the water, 90% below the water, right? But you talk about recruiting student athletes that fit what we're doing. Like water polo is a niche sport, right? And I mean, it is an Olympic sport. It's played at the highest level, but you've got to also find the right fit. And with anything, there's a lot of commonalities in basketball. Right? Huge basketball fan, hockey, soccer, power plays in hockey. But water polo is the most unforgiving sport if you take 2 or 3 days off. You know, you look at the average Joe, and I call it the average Joe, right, as a comparison. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can go out and play soccer, play basketball, maybe not at a high level, but we can do that. You ask somebody that hasn't played water polo to get back in the water after taking 3 or 4 months off, it's like molasses, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's athletes that are exceptional on land that may or may not translate in the water, but you get somebody that can swim exceptionally well and is physical and great ball handling skills and high polo IQ, you got yourself a pretty good water polo player.
Well, I'm excited to see you guys play this in two weekends. Obviously, the 14th is when you guys will take to the water. The 15th and 16th will be the semis, and then the title game on the 16th, which will be Sunday. And you mentioned, you know, there's a week and a half before you guys travel out to UCLA. When are you guys heading out, and what will the coming days that you're in Ann Arbor be like? Because you just mentioned taking 2 or 3 days off is a huge effect for a water polo team and player.
Well, you know, first of all, everything is driven by protocol now, right, in terms of testing. And so the NCAA, you know, has done their best in putting teams in a position to create a bubble within the tournament. And so, you know, our plan is to stay here now that we know who we're facing. And we know we just finished one of our practices this morning, is, you know, train Monday through Saturday. And within that spectrum, you know, we've got film breakdown, we've got prep, offense, defense, power play, et cetera, prepping all week, give them a Sunday off. Right. And then we're going to stay here Monday and Tuesday. Generally, we like to leave Monday and go train outdoors to acclimate to weather, right? The sun, and then just being outdoors again. But with protocol, we're going to train next Monday and Tuesday. We're going to take off, fly to California. And then, you know, the NCAA has implemented a 2-day testing protocol in order to create the bubble. So we'll test Tuesday, we'll test Wednesday. And mind you, we're already testing 6 times a week here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So we'll create that bubble, and then we'll practice on Thursday. We'll have a morning shoot around on Friday, and then we'll compete on Friday at 2:00.
Well, Coach, we are definitely excited to learn what the outcome is. Best of luck out in UCLA, out in California. And like I said, we'll look forward to hearing from you, and go Blue.
Hey, well, thank you very much. Love your show, and go Blue.
Dr. Marcelo Leonardi, water polo here at the University of Michigan, traveling out to UCLA in just a few days, about a week, and taking on Arizona State. We'll make sure to give you all the highlights and the rundown as to what happens out there here on Conquering Heroes.
Thanks for listening to Conquering Heroes with John Jansen. Conquering Heroes is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. M Go Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.